Or a couple drops. It needed about a bottle of water.
Not like that. It was just a couple drops of
now
water.
Now I smell biscuits.
Oh, no. I put biscuits. A shot of water.
Oh, those biscuits the other night were...
God.
Like, full shot. Yeah. Oh, with the water, the sweetness comes through. The there's that coating on... There's that meatiness to the palate on the back of the tongue. I think it's lovely.
Yeah, if you're going to have this, you need to have it like on... I think it's going to be best like on the rocks. You know, or with a little, if you're going to drink it neat with a little bit of water, you needs that. It really needs that. So
lovely. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be rating the Gordon & McPhail Connoisseur's Choice Galila 2008 because I have a couple of heathens at the table. It's only getting 3 sips.
Interesting.
Never thought in my life I'd say I wish Harmeet was here.
I didn't really think it was deserving of more than 2 sips.
No, that's because you're a heathen.
It's because I'm portraying Harmeet and interrupted you and stuff. I'm giving it 3 sips, you know. That's why.
Okay.
Animal. All right. So moving on to our next one, we're going to have Brent tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. Let's see if we can how many mispronunciations we can get through in this paragraph.
Go for it.
High. So the Glenglassaugh was founded in 1875 by businessman James Moore and coppersmith Thomas Wilson at the Sandon Bay near Potsoy.
Portsoy. Yeah.
In 1893, the distillery was sold to Highland Distillers. After a downturn in the market, Glenglassaugh was forced to close in 1907. But for a few years in the 1930s, it remained closed for 53 years. It reopened again in 1960 and remained in production until 1986 when it was closed again. But in 2006, Stuart Nickerson, a former distillery manager at William Grant & Sons, reopened Glenglassaugh on the behalf of the new owners, the Seon Group. The Seon Group sold the distillery onto the Benriach Distillery Company in 2013. The Benriach Company was sold to Brown-Forman in 2016, giving them ownership of the Benriach Distillery, Glendronach, and Glenglassaugh. So Brown-Forman quickly became engaged in the services of Dr. Rachel Berry to help with them with their new acquisitions. Well, we all know the...
Best blender in all of Scotland.
Oh, yeah, right. Rachel Berry has all the... Yeah.
No disrespect to anybody else, but I think right now she's number one.
Yeah, 30 years of service in the industry. She graduated with a degree in chemistry. She started her own whiskey career as a researcher for the Scots Whiskey Research Institute under the guidance of
Jim Swan.
Exactly. So
she worked with Jim Swan. She worked with Dr. Bill Lumsden. She worked at Bemore. She worked everywhere.
Yeah. So we'll be back to rate this whiskey when we return. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, surprising it on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and Brent was telling us all about Glenglassaugh.
Yeah, so we just got done with that. Now we're going to get to our first expression here. The Glenglassaugh Portsoy. It's a 49.1% ABV, 98.2 proof, and it's non-age stated. So Glenglassaugh's neighboring harbor village of Portsoy inspires a deep maritime flavor of this richly peated single malt, matured in sherry, bourbon, and port cask. Oh, when I hear the word peated single malt, you know that brings a joy to my eyes.
You're so happy.
So,
and
now when I get it though, I don't get that. I'm expecting all this peat, and I don't get it. You know, I get this. First thing I notice on the nose is I got salt. I got a little bit of salt, and then I got some fruits, and just salt and fruit is really what I get. I don't get any peat at all on the nose.
Actually, I think the peat was there when we initially poured it, and it's really blown off considerably to the point of almost being gone.
Yeah. Yeah, so
but it was there.
Right,
I remember
so,
it.
But it's got some. This is on the palate. It's got like a little bitterness of a dark chocolate, some mangoes, and that sea salt just won't go away. It's almost like did they actually put sea salt in it or something or what? But I mean, it's there on the nose, the palate, and on the finish. It's not a bad thing, and I was expecting, you know, something to be peated again, and you know, but this one, very pleasant, very enjoyable. Maury?
No, I agree with you, Brent, completely. This was a shocker, and I must admit, when I first poured it, I had rated it considerably lower. The smoke has really largely blown off. It's really become much more balanced. It's got a beautiful color. The nose, I agree with you. Salt and maritime, ocean, a little bit of hint of tropical fruit on the nose. And on the palate, again, full body, dark chocolate, little, you know, bittersweet chocolate, maybe some charred mango, again, a little hint of sea salt, and then the finish just sort of fades off. I thought it was a delicious whiskey. I really liked it quite a bit, and I think patience will reward you. Pour it in the glass, walk away from it for 45 minutes to an hour,
then
and
come back.
And I didn't add water to it, but I thought air alone did wonders for this whiskey. Justin?
Well, I love the vibrancy of the finish on this one. Like, made my mid palate sing. For me, it was like more a feeling than a flavor, although the flavor was all there. What did you think, Bob?
Oh, I'm lucky enough to have had this one before.
What kind of feeling?
Because I got an advanced sample of it before this one. Again, work with Rachel Berry. She's outdone herself. I've had Glenglassaugh in the past before she took over, and this is heads and tails above it. It's very maritime in character. You definitely get that sea salt. You get the seaweed note to it. It's you know that this is close to the coast. You get the sherry on the nose.
You know, Bob, add a little drop of water after you taste it this time, because I got a little, just a whiff of that peat came through on the palate after I added a couple drops of water.
And then I get a tiny little bit of the sweetness of the port on the nose, but there's some tropical fruit in there, like stewed tropical fruit, but on the palate, so good. Just again, that minerally saltiness, that flavor of the sea, some dark chocolate, a little bit of cocoa on it, and just on the exhale, just a slight bit of smoke. I mean, it's just so well done. Just a beautiful whiskey. Can't say any more about it. I mean, it's fantastic. Anybody got any other thoughts?
Nope.
We're going to be giving the Glenglassaugh Portsoy a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our next one, which is the Glenglassaugh Sand End. That's 50.5% ABV, 101 proof, non-age stated. This is inspired by the Crescent Beach of Sand End Bay. Glenglassaugh Sand End is matured in bourbon, sherry, and manzanilla casks for nice flavor and body. Again, pale straw color on it, a little hint of gold along the edge on the nose. Just like vanilla ice cream sandwich. There's some lovely fruit in there, a little bit of pineapple.
Yeah, we seem to have a pineapple theme today.
A little bit of pineapple, maybe a little bit of papaya, like some really nice tropical fruit. It's still got that maritime note to it, but not nearly as much as the Portsoy. And on the palate, there it is. There's your pineapple. Big tropical fruit, big pineapple, grapefruit. And a little bit more of that saltiness comes through. Again, another winner. It's this one's bright. It's very, very bright.
I agree with you. This one's beautiful. This one came right out of the bottle, bright and fresh. It just continues
like
to deliver.
It's like a sunny day on the beach.
It is, but it's very pineapple. It reminds me of the Buchanan's pineapple, but this is no pineapple added. This is pure single malt.
Yeah.
But it's just delicious. It's just really a bright, sunny, beautiful all day at the beach quaffer. I can't say enough good things about this whiskey. I think it's delicious.
Again, Dr. Rachel. I mean, I always give her props. I sound like a huge fanboy, and it's because I am. I mean, I remember not too long ago, I finally got a chance to actually meet her, and it was the whole time I'm going, don't fanboy, don't fanboy, don't fanboy. And I almost dropped and did like the whole Wayne's World thing. You know, I mean, like, she's truly one of the best in the business.
Justin?
So on the nose, I'm getting that Chardonnay cougar juice note, scientifically malolactic fermentation.
Haven't heard that word all day. Harm's not here.
Reason. And on the palate, it's rich, it's tropical, kind of Asian too.
It's just like crazy rich Asians?
Like crazy rich Asian. And like, you know, nice woody finish.
Well, if I was, I'd probably be able to afford to drink this every day, so that would be good.
Yeah, this is really fun. I'm glad we had it.
Wow.
I mean, this one here is worth singing the praises of what it is. Yep. It's a great couple drops of water, and I almost kind of thought that after I added a couple drops of water, I'm like, well, I know this is not peated, but boy, it almost gets to that point where you think there's a little bit there, you know, but... It's very enjoyable. It's like I said, pineapple word of the day. You know, some days it's a cask that we're talking about as word of the day. Today's pineapple.
Yeah, well, we're going to be giving the Glenglass of Sandend a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
And remember, guys, this isn't like limited edition stuff. This is the new main line. From Glenglassa. So imagine the stuff that they've got that they're brewing up for, you know, limited edition releases. So, well, that takes us to our next one. So we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey will be the Glenglassa 12-year, coming in at 45% ABV or 90 proof. The Glenglassa 12-year-old embodies Glenglassa's signature coastal style, matured in bourbon, sherry, and red wine casks for luscious waves of ripe fruit carried on an ocean breeze, inspired by the Aurora Borealis, also known as the Northern Lights. The 12-year-old is a reflection of the captivating dancing waves of light often seen in the sky from the distillery. That is a descriptive mouthful.
You ever seen the Northern Lights in person?
Never.
Oh my God, it's amazing. You just sit there at night and just kick back and just watch them. I mean, they just put on a
light show. Are you talking about like the lights in, like, you know, like Times Square?
No.
Well, that's the north, right?
Yeah, not far enough north for you.
Damn Yankees.
Well, back to the regular scheduled program. The whiskey's got a nice burnished copper color. On their nose, there's sweet coastal waves of ripe apricot and fig with some toasted vanilla, little tropical flora, and then there's this ocean breeze. You just hear a little bit of hint of salinity on the palate. This one's a little different. I would say the pineapple note has faded, and this is more candied pistachios, some sweet fig and date, a little bit of cherry, whipped cream, a little coastal air, and then the finish just sort of dances on your palate for what seems like an eternity. This whiskey was decidedly different from the last one, but nonetheless, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was delicious. I thought it was a step up in sophistication. It was a little bit more of a grown-up whiskey, a little more sophisticated, a little less of an all-day pineapples quaffer. I liked it quite a lot. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, add a drop of water. Add a drop, a couple drops of water to this,
and it just
pops. I mean, you know, I wasn't getting the understanding of the waves that come across your palate, but once you put a couple drops of water on it, then you can understand it. You're like, oh yeah, I get it now. You know, it moves from the front to the back of your palate, and it's just kind of back to the middle, and then you get a nice finish to it. You know, all those
that was a good call on the water.
Yeah, all those notes that you said about, you know, for the flavors and stuff, spot on, you know, but I didn't get that Northern Lights until I added some water. What do you think, Justin?
I think it's a lot like a Rolo with whipped cream sprayed with lemon water.
Lemon water. I thought it was rose petal. You thought it was lemon water?
Lemon water.
Okay, because the spritzer on the bottle look like more rosy than lemony.
Definitely had that caramel texture on the back palate. I enjoyed it a lot. And the red wine was prominent on the nose.
I'm supposed to follow that.
Just give it a number. Jeez. Just follow the number. Just say I'm in and move on.
Again, fantastic whiskey. Some great fruit to it. Still got some of that maritime note to it as well. You can tell the pedigree. You can tell this came from the same distillery as the first two, but it is just that little bit better. Fantastic whiskey. We're going to be rating the Glenglassa 12-year. Well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our last whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
I am excited to tell you about Highland Park Cask Strength's fourth release. It's 64.3% alcohol by volume, or 128.6 proof. Regular listeners will remember... Remember our past reviews of Highland Park Cask Strength. This fourth release was matured predominantly in first fill seasoned European oak casks, along with first fill sherry seasoned American oak casks, a small quantity of refill casks, ex-bourbon casks, and for the first time, export casks too. Bottled straight from the cask as God intended, without the addition of water. So this is a nice light brown, kind of dark for a scotch. Would be light for a bourbon.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
How did I know that comment was coming from Homer?
He asked for it.
On the nose, I get these beautiful wood notes, light whiff of peat, and caramel toffee. On the palate, I get some floral notes, some oak, a little bit of earthiness to it, like a rich wine tannin. On the end, I get just vibration and heaven. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, not being a scotch drinker, this is one that you can get, and I think it's relatively decent price. You know, I'm going to say around $100, $120, and you can find it at the liquor stores. And if you're like a bourbon drinker and you want to kind of experiment into the scotch world, and you're like, well, I don't want to drink one of those ones that's not high up there in proof or whatever, you know, those 83.6 proofs and 90. This is one that you want to go out and get, because you're going to love having it in your collection, to drink every day, you know, not just to let it sit there. You're going to love to have this one open, share with friends. It's got that little bit of smoke to it that you're going to get. You mentioned the lemons. It's got a little bit of lemon down there. It's an enjoyable one. When you're for the bourbon drinker, I have to say, you have to go get it because it's well worth it.
I respectfully disagree.
Why? You don't think you should
get this? No, I don't think this is scotch for bourbon drinkers at all. I think this is a scotch for, I've been drinking scotch and I want to advance into like something a little more exotic. It's got a lot of complexity. It's got hints of smoke. It's got, you know, hints of classical scotch profile on the base. I think it's much more advanced than a bourbon drinker.
Well, it is. It is
smoking bourbon.
It is advanced. I mean, that's the whole thing.
It's smoky. Like,
a little, yeah, but not over, not over, not over.
No, it's well balanced.
But that's what I'm saying is that if you want to switch over and you want to go to a smoky scotch, this is the one to do it with.
Yes, but if you wanted to just switch to scotch from bourbon, there are other scotches that are a little bit bourbon friendly scotches without the smoke, because there's really no bourbon that's this smoky.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable though, Bob.
It's a winner, like everyone we've had so far. We've done I think we've done one, two, and this one on the show. I don't remember if we did three. I know I have three. And every one of them has been absolutely fantastic. And for the money, you cannot beat this release every time it comes out. It's a winner. And we're going to be rating the Highland Park Cask Strength fourth release a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
Under protest from me, but yeah, beautiful whiskey. Absolutely beautiful. Been waiting for that one to come out for a while, so.
Hoo-ah!
Well, that's all the time we have for today. So I want to thank everybody for coming.
Thank you. I'm just glad that I was able to fill in for Harmeet.
You're not nearly bitter enough. Could you work on the bitterness for next time?
I interrupted Maury twice, so that was good enough.
It's only twice, though.
You need a little more of a suntan, and you probably need to wear some pants and a turban.
Thank you, Maury. Oh, yeah.
You're welcome, Bob. Thank you for having me. Another delightful day in the damp, dank, dark basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Wow. What a great day to be here.
Well, for Sip, Sud, and Smokes, Made Man Bob, thanks for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And man, we didn't drink any bad whiskey on this show.
Woo! We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play Pod and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.